We are in the third and final part of the Great Easter season, the period between the Ascension and Pentecost, which Father Francis would often refer to as Ascension time. So it's the period of the Easter season when we're no longer looking at the risen Lord appearing on earth. Our eyes have been raised up, our hearts have been raised up to heaven, and we realize we're not supposed to stand here looking at the clouds. We're supposed to see with eyes of faith. And for that, we need the Holy Spirit. That's why we're in this novena to the Holy Spirit. Today is the fourth day already of our novena to the Holy Spirit. The apostles, after Jesus ascended to the Father, gathered in prayer with Our Lady in the cenacle, the upper room. So it's very beautiful that today we celebrate the feast of Our Lady. Our Lady of Fatima happens to fall on this day. And we have a beautiful image of Our Lady of Fatima here, courtesy of the Sagun family, as you know. So it's an opportunity for us to join Mary in praying for the coming of the Holy Spirit. In today's first reading, Paul encounters some believers who have never heard of the Holy Spirit. It's an interesting stage of development in the early church that people were so influenced by the message of John the Baptist that they believed what he said about Jesus, but they didn't get the whole instruction on the faith, and so they had never heard of the Holy Spirit, and they had never heard of baptism other than the baptism of John. So Paul says, well, there's another level that has been revealed, and this is what it is. The baptism in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Baptism in which we receive this divine gift of the Holy Spirit. And as soon as they heard that, well, then they wanted to be baptized. They were baptized, and they received the Holy Spirit. I think what we can see in this party is the importance of complete instruction in the mysteries of the faith, that just knowing a little bit about our faith is incomplete. It's a good start, but we should never be content with just knowing a little bit. Let's keep growing in our knowledge of the faith. Another thing we learn from this is the importance of repentance, because John, remember, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. Those who accepted the message of John and turned away from sin, they were the ones who were ready to accept Jesus the Messiah. Those who refused John's message were not ready to receive Jesus. So here these people in Ephesus have accepted this message of repentance. They've already turned away from sin, and so that's why they're so quick to receive the Holy Spirit. They're ready. They just didn't have knowledge, but their hearts were... The disposition of their hearts was good. They were ready to receive. So repentance is an essential element of this season, of Ascension time. Repentance is an essential element of being ready to receive the Holy Spirit. In today's Gospel, we're still at the Last Supper, and Jesus is instructing his disciples. They come to the point where they say, Now we realize that you know everything and we don't have to ask you anything. We believe that you came from God. So they make a kind of profession of faith. And then Jesus warns them that, well, there's going to be a time when your faith will be put to the test. The hour is coming and has arrived. Now, remember, this is Holy Thursday night when he's saying this. The hour has arrived when he himself is going to be arrested, tormented, tried, convicted, executed. And that's going to be a major trial for his followers as well. But then he adds this: I told you this so that you may have peace in me. In other words, all the trials that he's going to go through and all the trials that we go through do not have to destroy the gift of peace. In the world, you will have trouble. And isn't that true? In the world, we have trouble. It's a troubled world. It's always a troubled world. Not just because of the wars and conflicts and corruption that's reigning right now, but it's always been a troubled world. It's a broken world. A world desperately in need of God. Desperately in need of forgiveness of sin, mercy of God. Desperately in need of the Holy Spirit. So he said, in the world you will have trouble, but take courage, I have conquered the world. In the world you will have trouble, but take courage, I have conquered the world. It's a statement of realism, a real situation we're in, but also a statement of encouragement. Take courage. I have conquered the world. The troubles that you face do not need to destroy your peace, because I have conquered the world. This is a good way to understand the role of Our Lady when she appeared at Fatima. She appeared to three little shepherd children. The oldest was 10 years old. Lucia is 10 years old. Francisco is 9 years old. Little Jacinta is just 7 years old. So we're talking about very young, innocent children. And she bestows on them this enormous message about how to bring peace to the world and what's going to happen in the future, and she shows them a vision of hell, and tells them how sinners can be saved, and then she encourages the devotion to her Immaculate Heart, prayer of the Rosary, and it's just an enormous message, something that highly trained theologians have still been trying to ponder, and she bestows it on these little children. You know the message of Fatima, and this is what we celebrate today. But I'd like to point out that God's ways are so different from our ways. God's way of conquering the world is so different from the world's way of conquering. If we, in our according to our natural approach and natural way of thinking, would to come up with a plan for conquering the world, well, we would get the best technology, the best weapons, the best whatever, social media influencers, and we'd conquer the world with some kind of worldly power. Get Elon Musk and Taylor Swift and get everybody who's famous, all famous politicians, and get them all on the same page and have them all proclaim the same message, and that would conquer the world, right? That's not what God does. He chooses the little ones. The people don't even have a concept of what he's talking about, and he entrusts them with this beautiful and powerful message. Jesus conquers the world not by pride and force, but by humility and submission. Beautiful. So when we celebrate Our Lady of Fatima, we do so with confidence in the power of God, but that power which is unleashed in such humble ways. Now, one of the things about Fatima, and this comes up to my mind because the disciples say in today's gospel that now you're speaking plainly and now we understand everything. People often complain or question why God doesn't make things clearer. Why doesn't he speak plainly? Why doesn't he give a sign that would convince everybody that he has saved the world? Why doesn't he do something to convince everybody to believe? Well, we don't know why God does things and doesn't do other things, but we also know that God has already provided extraordinary signs, and they don't always work. And one of the extraordinary signs is the miracle of the sun, which was performed through the intercession of Our Lady of Fatima in 1917. Thousands, tens of thousands of people saw this clear sign. It was even documented in the media at the time. Did that change the world? Did that convert everybody in the world? No. No. People are still saying, I don't see any evidence, I don't see any signs, I don't see any message, nothing, no proof. Everybody's saying no proof. Well, no amount of proof is going to move proud hearts. No amount of force is going to make people bend their will. That's why God prefers to do things simply. And he finds a greater welcome in those who are childlike, like Lucia and Francisco, Saint Francisco and Saint Jacinta. The three children of Fatima, two of them died very young, the younger ones. The oldest one, Lucia, she lived until she was 96 or something like that. She lived a very long life. During that long life, it is the children, they died. So they received the message, they gave the message, they died, they went to heaven. Lucia, she remained, but she didn't remain doing extraordinarily impressive worldly things. She didn't go around the world proclaiming what she had seen. She didn't, you know, write lofty theological dissertations about the message of Fatima. She withdrew into contemplative life, and she spent, 80 years or 70 years in seclusion. And people look at that and say, well, what is that? Here's somebody who's given an extraordinary message. Why doesn't she put it on social media? Why doesn't she get out there and convince people of the peace plan of Fatima? Well, because that wasn't the will of God for her, and that's not the most powerful thing. She was called to prayer, sacrifice, reparation. And that's what she did. So it's another way of reflecting on today's gospel where Jesus says, in the world you will have trouble. But take courage, I have conquered the world. I'm telling you this so that you will have peace in me. Peace is at the center of the Fatima message, right? Peace, prayer for peace, the rosary for peace. Well, peace comes not from force and not from convincing people with better and better arguments or better and better social media. Peace comes from God. It comes from turning away from sin, accepting the call to repentance from John the Baptist, from Our Lady of Fatima, from the church, and from accepting the will of God. So with Mary's help, with Mary's intercession, with confidence in the power of the Holy Spirit, we continue to go forward in the path of peace, which is the path which conquers the world.